All right. Well, good morning, Living Hope Fellowship. Welcome back to the Father's House. Great to see all of you here today. Worship with you today. Just a great time. We are continuing in our ongoing series, How to Consistently Receive God's Will for Your Life. And the topic of today is, you must personally hear God's voice consistently if you want to consistently receive God's will for your life. I'm going to use the word hear. I know there's a difference between hearing and listening. It's kind of going to be all kind of integrated into one, and you'll see why. But the main thing is, are we actually hearing God? You know, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but think about, when are times that clearly I heard God, I knew his direction, and I followed, versus other times where you're seeking God, you're asking God the answer to a question, and you're not able to hear. And there's nuances to this. So there's sometimes that God will not speak because you're in the middle of a test. And as I always say with teachers and students, once they have taught you the lesson over and over again, there's a time for a test to examine. There's a time to find out, where are you at? So God will withdraw his voice to see how you're going to behave. What are you going to do? And then from there, you're either going to go to the next level because you passed, or it's time to revisit this lesson again. So knowing we have that in mind, that's not what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about, when God is speaking and you're not hearing, why is that? And hearing God's voice personally is a must in the Christian life. It's not an exception to the rule. It's not for the spiritual elite. It's for every single one of us. So if we're not hearing God's voice consistently, there's a problem. And we're going to deal with that today. So our text comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's the whole chapter. So it starts off, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. Did you call me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. Did you call me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Okay? So we have 1 Samuel chapter 3, and what we're going to learn today is you must personally hear God's voice consistently. First of all, you need to hear God's voice, period. One of the biggest reasons I see folks who grow up in church, been in church their whole life, walk away from the Lord is because they never personally heard the voice of God. And if you don't personally hear the voice of God, then he's not real to you. Then what you're following is just religious rituals. But the problem is, it's not that God's not speaking to you. The problem is you're not listening. You're not hearing. And we'll take some credit as church leadership. It's also our fault because we never taught you how to listen. We didn't take you through the disciplines of what does it look like. We didn't model for you what it looks like when God speaks to you and how to discern his voice. So there's blame to go all around, but we need to understand that hearing God's voice personally is a must have for the Christian. It's not the exception to the rule. It's not an infrequent thing that happens once in a blue moon. This is actually one of the greatest gifts that comes with our salvation. This is what intimate and personal relationship is all about. Can you have an intimate and personal relationship with someone if you're always talking to someone through a mediator? Right? Hey, Daryl, tell Alan I said hello. Alan tells Daryl, tell him I said hello. Tell him I hope he's doing well. There's no personal relationship. You may know of each other. You may know about each other, but there's no personal relationship there. And that's what we're dealing with today. So when I say the voice of God, let me give you a definition, okay, for today. It's a specific communication from God directly to you that is clearly distinguishable from your own inner voice. It comes in many ways, many shapes, many forms. God's voice is heard from his Holy Spirit to the Holy Spirit in you, so it can be hard to quantify at times. When I say the voice of God, I'm not saying you're going to hear an audible voice. You may. I know some people that do. I don't. That doesn't mean God's not speaking. So we have to learn, how does God speak to us? There's a passage in, I forget the chapter name, right? I mean, the book name. I think it's 2 Kings chapter 18. Elijah has done a great work for God. You know, he has defeated the prophets of Baal when God answers his prayer. And he runs away because Jezebel, the evil queen, threatens his life. And he's at a place where he's seeking God, and he's all alone, and he just wants to die. And it says that God, you know, he leads him to Mount Sinai, which is where Moses met God. And it says that when he's there, there's a huge earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. There's a huge blowing of wind, like a hurricane, but God's not in the wind. And then it says, in a still, small voice, God spoke to Elijah. Now, the interesting thing about it is that English doesn't have a way to really communicate it. But that still, small voice that we see in 2 Kings 18 actually means in the silence. In the silence, God hears Elijah speak. So it wasn't even a whisper. It was in the silence, Elijah hears God speak. And so, like I said, there's many ways that God can speak to us and we can hear his voice. This sermon is not about that today. It's about the fact that you must hear personally from God if you're going to say you have a personal and intimate relationship with him. And more importantly, if you're going to consistently receive his will for your life. Okay? So we need a little bit of backstory here so we know what's going on. The time frame of 1 Samuel chapter 3 is, it's the end of the time of the judges. And one of the themes that goes through the book of Judges is that all the people did what was right in their own eyes. That is a repeated theme of why they are on this roller coaster of horrible darkness. God sends a deliverer slash judge. He delivers Israel and they go right back to their wickedness. Dark, dark times, roller coaster turbulence going on for many years. I believe that's why verse 1 says that messages from the Lord were rare. And we're going to talk about this later. But messages from the Lord were rare, not because God is, well, yes, God is not talking, but there's a reason why he's not. And it's because if you don't listen, he's not going to talk. God does not waste his time. If you have no intention to listen, you're not really honest and seeking of his voice, he's not going to waste his breath on you. And I know that sounds harsh, but think about it. In your own family, is it not the same? Do you like to nag people? Do you like to get after them after the same thing over and over? Of course not. It ruptures relationship. And so when you fail to listen, you fail to hear, then of course you're not going to receive the message. And I think it's coming from the fact that it's the time of judges. People are doing whatever they want, whatever they think is right. God's not fitting in the picture. Next part is that Eli, the priest in the story, his sons are priests as well, and they are extremely wicked, extremely corrupt. We see this in chapter 2 leading to chapter 3. In chapter 2, their main focus is they're fulfilling all their selfish desires in gluttony. They're stealing from the people. And here's the thing. Why would visions from the Lord be infrequent in this time? Because if all you're doing is satisfying yourself, there's no time for the vision of God. Nobody wants to know the vision of God if all we're doing is focusing on me, 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 me. And the last piece of the background you need to know is that this Samuel, who later grows up to be Samuel the prophet, is the same Samuel who is the son of Hannah. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah is the wife that cannot have a child. She's the second wife of Elkanah. The first wife is taunting her because she can't have a child. God miraculously delivers a child, and this child is Samuel. And her promise to God was, if you let me have a son, I will give him to you. So as soon as Samuel is weaned, meaning he no longer suckles from his mother, she takes him to Eli, and he's growing up in the house of the Lord as a priest. Okay? These are all important things you need to know going into this. Okay. Principle number one. Although many who faithfully serve the Lord have a hard time personally hearing God's voice, it is not because the Lord is failing to speak on a consistent basis. If you're not hearing, it's not because God's not talking. Unless, of course, you have completely hardened your heart to him, then you're going to hear nothing. Even then, God still speaks. He's just merciful that way. But if you have a hard time personally hearing God's voice, it's not because he's failing to speak on a consistent basis. We see this in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. We don't know what age Samuel is when God starts speaking to him here. There's going to be a clue in the text that tells us this ain't the first time. So I'm assuming Samuel's at least about 13 years old, just because Jewish custom, how they viewed somebody, you know, coming into their own right and their own responsibility and their relationship with God. But it says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord, but he hadn't yet known the Lord. And that's why principle one tells us, although many who faithfully serve the Lord. You can faithfully serve the Lord. And this is the problem. We have allowed the paradigm of us knowing about God, even loving God, faithfully serving God, and yet there's no expectation that we're supposed to personally hear his voice. That is so wrong. That is so wrong that we have allowed this to go on for 1,000 years or 2,000 years, where we think that that's normal. That's not normal. And that's why we get into the situations that we get into. So here's the question, right? I kind of addressed it in the background. Were messages from the Lord rare because God wasn't speaking, or because most people were not listening? And it's a combination of both. You don't listen, he don't speak. And I need to take us back to these sons of Eli and his sons. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12 says, now the sons of Eli were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord or for their duties as priests. Part of it is because there's no connection between them and God. We jump to verse 22. Now Eli was very old, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to the people of Israel. He knew, for instance, that his sons were seducing the young women who assisted at the entrance of the tabernacle. Eli said to them, I have been hearing reports from all the people about the wicked things you are doing. Why do you keep sinning? You must stop, my sons. The reports I hear among the Lord's people are not good. if someone sins against another person, God can mediate for the guilty party. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede? But Eli's sons wouldn't listen to their father, for the Lord was already planning to put them to death. Hard hearts, they're not changing. Jump to verse 27. One day a man of God came to Eli and gave him this message from the Lord. Think about that. We're about to read in chapter 3, messages from the Lord are rare. Visions are infrequent. We see Samuel's sons as the priests of Israel. They're supposed to be hearing from God directly. They're not listening. I think at this point, Eli, to some degree, is not listening because God is telling him, correct your sons, deal with your sons, and he won't. Because he loves, and we're going to see the reason behind that in a minute. But God uses another unnamed prophet to be able to bring a message. So we have 1 Samuel 2, verse 27. Right. So God gives a message to another man of God, prophet, because he's willing to listen. And so he sends this message. So even if you don't listen, that's why I say God, it's both of these things. Even if you choose to harden your heart against God, even if you harden your heart against God and you're tuning out his voice, God is faithful on his end to make sure that you still get the message. And that's why he goes to this man, this other man that is faithful to God, and he tells him, give Eli this message, because now he ain't listening to me. And that message is, in the middle of verse 27, I revealed myself to your ancestors when they were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer sacrifices on my altar, to burn incense, and to wear the priestly vest as he served me, and I assigned the sacrificial offerings to you priests. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you give your sons more honor than you give me? For you and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people Israel. Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promise that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priests, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. The time is coming when I will put an end to your family, so it will no longer serve as my priests. All the members of your family will die before their time. None will reach old age. You will watch with envy as I pour out prosperity on the people of Israel, but no members of your family will ever live out their days. The few not cut off from serving at my altar will survive, but only so their eyes can go blind and their hearts break and their children will die a violent death. And to prove that what I have said will come true, I will cause your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to die on the same day. Then I will raise up a faithful priest who will serve me and do what I desire. I will establish his family and they will be priests to my anointed kings forever. Then all of your surviving family will bow before him, begging for money and food. Please, they will say, give us jobs among the priests so we will have enough to eat. This is why we tune out the voice of God, right? When you do wrong, when you're outrightly disobedient and you have no intention of changing, then we have to deafen our ears to God because of these types of messages, because God don't play. And so we end up going into this horrible pattern down the wrong path that gets worse and worse and worse because we are not taking the time to invest in hearing from God personally. Okay? I know that's a grim picture, but let's face it. This is, God doesn't play. And this is all the more reason why we need to make sure we are making people aware and doing our part when God speaks to us. He speaks to us for us, but he also speaks to us for others, and we need to make sure we're being faithful in that. So principle number one, again, is although many who faithfully serve the Lord, because that's what it says in verse one, although many who faithfully serve the Lord, although many who faithfully serve the Lord have a hard time personally hearing God's voice It is not because the Lord is failing to speak on a consistent basis. So we need to get theologically correct. It's not okay for me to know about the Lord, even to love the Lord, even to faithfully serve the Lord, and yet not hear his voice personally. That is wrong. Something is wrong, and we need to get that right. Okay? So let's go to principle number two. Principle number two is all genuine believers in the Lord can and do hear the voice of God. But way too often, we fail to consistently discern when we are hearing God's voice. So I just told you, it's required, right? You cannot live a truly faithful life, which means an intimate relationship with the Lord, if you don't hear his voice. And I'm telling you, if you don't hear his voice, there's something wrong. Let that soak in. On the flip side, I'm going to tell you that if you have the Holy Spirit inside you, you actually do hear his voice, but you're not recognizing it. So we need to work now on what does it look like to recognize it? And why do we fail to recognize it? So we go to verse 2 of 1 Samuel chapter 3. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. Did you call me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. Did you call me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So we see God is calling Samuel. He's actually receiving and perceiving the voice, but he doesn't know the source of it, right? He doesn't know the source of it. So why do we fail to hear? And as I said earlier, part of it is because we're misinformed theologically. Theologically, somehow, some way, I don't think we believe that God still speaks today. There's actually a theological line of thought that says these types of things God doesn't do anymore. That's wrong. That's biblically wrong and completely, I mean, you have to ignore the Bible to believe that. So we need to get our theology straight. God does still speak today. Now, there are those who know that God speaks today, but they don't believe that God wants to specifically speak to them today. That's another problem. And then third is, do you understand that you have a responsibility to invest in hearing his voice? It doesn't just come as a voice out of the blue dawn. You have to invest and position yourself to be able to hear his voice. So these are the three theological aspects that we were wrong in. We might not be wrong in all three, but we're wrong in at least one. And that prohibits us from even understanding it's normative for God's people to personally hear his voice. What are some other challenges? Number one, it takes time, effort, and focus to hear God's voice. And what does this mean? Time. We're too busy. We are too busy to hear the voice of God. How are you going to have the time to listen when you're running around, you're juggling 10 things, your mind's preoccupied with all these things? When are you going to hear God? And that leads to we don't practice quietness, stillness, and listening. There's nothing wrong with bringing your needs before God in prayer, but a lot of it is machine gunning our prayer requests to God and then not even stopping to hear and listen, right? Pastor Zach did a great job last week of we're asking for things, we're asking questions that are not even on God's radar because we're asking for the wrong things. We're looking for something. We're looking for someone instead of looking for God, right? And last week's thing was, are you for me or are you for my enemy? The answer was no. Wrong question. If you don't practice quietness, stillness, and listening, you're not going to ask the right question, let alone be able to really hear the answer. Another problem is we've deafened ourselves to our master's voice. So many other voices in this world that have more influence over us than the voice of God, than the word of God. And so we don't even seek his voice. And last, because the voice of our desires are louder than the voice of God in our life. I am more about fulfilling my own desires, my own wants, my own needs, than I am being interested in what does God want. These are why we don't hear consistently. They're not the only ones, but they're probably the four major categories of why we don't. So we have to remember, all genuine believers in the Lord can and do hear the voice of God, but way too often we fail to consistently discern when we are hearing God's voice. If it doesn't fulfill my need, if it doesn't fulfill my career path, it doesn't fulfill what I think is ideal, then I completely dismiss it and I don't hear, let alone listen. Principle number three, there can be no personal, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father if we do not hear Him speak to us personally. I would love to sit down with folks who know God, who know about God, may even love God, faithfully serve God, but have never heard His voice. Because my question would be, then how do you know He's real? How can you know? And I think that's why so many people walk away and they don't believe He's real, because they've never heard, right? It's kind of like if you grew up in a family where one of your parents was just absent for whatever reason. Maybe they abandoned the family. Maybe they died prematurely. All these different things. You'll never know what it is to have that person in your life because they're not there. And while the concept of, yes, I know I wasn't born out of thin air. I come from parents. I have biological parents. You know the concept. You believe the concept. But how hard is it? You can't have a personal relationship. Can there really be love there when somebody's not there? And I paint this picture because we need to understand that's what I'm talking about with God. If you're not hearing His voice personally, is He really real? And of course we know He's real, but He's not really real to you because you're not hearing. And we see this in verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He's faithful. Remember, verse 1 says he's faithfully serving the Lord, but he don't know him. He's growing up as a great young man of God, taught all the right practices, told about God day and night, but he doesn't know God. Not yet, anyway. Okay? So remember, the voice of, I'm just going to give you the definition again, because I'm not talking about an audible voice per se. The voice of God is a specific communication from God directly to you that is clearly distinguishable from your own inner voice. It comes in many ways, shapes, or forms. God's voice is heard from His Holy Spirit to the Holy Spirit in you, so it can be hard to quantify at times. One of the things about when God's voice is revealed to you personally, you know that you know that you know it's God. Maybe somebody else won't believe it. Maybe you won't be able to prove it tangibly, but you know that you know that you know that it is God. And here's the principle we need to understand as we see this with Samuel. Christian parentage, meaning you're inheriting Christianity from your family. Christian parentage and religious instruction will lead to intimately knowing the Lord only if one invests in hearing God personally. Having Christian parents and growing up in church is of zero value if you do not invest in hearing God personally. Period. That's the divider. That is the divider between those who believe and those who don't. Did you ever hear His voice personally? And did you listen and did you obey? And this is why I tell you, the concept of the sermon is not if you believe in God, you can hear His voice or you may hear His voice. You will hear His voice. John 10:25 tells us, Jesus replied, I have already told you and you don't believe me. The proof is the work I do in my Father's name. But you don't believe me because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. My sheep listen to me. Not my sheep can listen to me. My sheep may listen to me. My sheep listen to me. So we must invest in personally hearing the voice of God. If you're not hearing the voice of God, please, please, please get together. And it's coming in the next principle. Get together with people that you know that do. Because you need to sit at their feet and you need to learn. Because this is crucial to faith, crucial to reality, crucial to salvation. There can be no personal, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father if we do not hear Him speak to us personally. Principle number four. Being able to hear God personally usually requires a spiritual mentor to help you discern the voice of God. And we see this in verse 8. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Without Eli there, and we know Eli is not in the best place with God right now. But he was. At one point he was, and he's still a spiritual father to Samuel. He still has some good left in him. He's known God, so he's able to show Samuel the way. We must have spiritual parents. We must have spiritual mentors. You know, I know parents generally implies a gap in age. Doesn't have to be people older than you. Spiritual mentors that hear from God consistently that can show you the way. We must have it. Because you're not going to be able to get it on your own. Can God call people out of nowhere, speak to them directly, give? Absolutely. But I'm talking about if we already are believers in God, we are already faithfully serving Him, and we're not hearing, then you have the treasure, the eternal treasure that is the community of God. And we need to get out of isolation and get into the community so that we can bring these things to them, be transparent, be vulnerable, and God can speak to us. You following me? Principle number five. The more you discipline yourself to focus on hearing God's voice personally, the clearer His voice will become to you and the greater your vision of Him will become. Right? The more you discipline yourself to focus on hearing His voice personally, the clearer His voice becomes to you and the greater your vision of Him will become. Watch this. I love this. Verse 10. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." What? Oh my goodness. Did you catch that? The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times. He's been there before saying, "Samuel, Samuel." But Samuel didn't listen. He didn't know how to listen. He didn't know how to hear. He didn't know this was expected in a relationship with God. But because he's now focusing on hearing God, not only does he hear God, he sees God. Man, the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times. Maybe I'm too excited about that. Speak, for your servant is listening. The more you discipline yourself to focus on hearing God's voice personally, the clearer His voice will become to you and the greater your vision of Him will become. He's not hiding. He's not hiding. This isn't a game of Marco Polo. There's parts on our end. So here's what I want you to understand. It's like television. I don't even say radio. I don't even know if anybody listens to the radio anymore, or many people don't. It's like television. Television is running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But you don't always hear what it says. Why? Because you're not tuned in. Because the TV's not on. It's still transmitting, but you're just not hearing it. God is always transmitting, but you're not tuned in. But either we have our receiver off or our receiver is broken. But the receiver is not permanently broken. There is some fine tuning that must take place. And it's just like, now I will go back to the radio. Back in the day when our sound waves were analog, sometimes you would have to adjust the knob a little bit, right? There's a lot of static coming in. Some of us have a lot of static when it comes to hearing God personally. He's speaking, you know he's speaking, but you're having a hard time making out what is he saying. Probably like our people on Zoom today when my phone was muting itself, right? The problem was here, not there. But when it comes with us and God, there's no technology that we can blame, right? There's a problem with our internal receiver, and we need to address that. Principle number 6, when God personally speaks to you, here's the qualifiers for how do you know it's God versus your own voice or someone else's voice. When God personally speaks to you, you won't always love the message, number 1. 2, it will always match the entirety of its written word. 3, it will be received by wise, godly people. 4, it will always come to fruition. And 5, it will always honor and glorify him. So there's always a testing that must take place when you believe you heard something from God. I know people, I've heard of people that every little thing that happens in their life is God speaking to them. No, it doesn't, maybe, but probably not. God's not hiding his will for you. He's not hiding his instruction for you. And you have to be really perceptive. This isn't Find Waldo when it comes to hearing the voice of God. God is crystal clear. So we don't need to be turning over every rock trying to find out what is God's will in this situation. What is God saying to me? He doesn't play. So when you do believe you've heard from God, it needs to match the criteria here. You're not always going to love the message. That's part of why we turn off his voice. Because there's a lot of times we don't love what he's saying because we're in the wrong and we don't want to hear it. Secondly, it cannot contradict his written word. Don't get me wrong. There's parallel truths and we know this. We've been talking about this for a long time. But it will not violate his written word. It will be received by wise, godly people. Eli, that's a bad news for Eli and his family. But what does he say? I know it's true. You know why? Because this isn't the first time I've heard it. You ever talk to people and God's using you and you say something to them and you're like, you're a little afraid to say it and you say it and they're like, that's exactly what God's been telling me. You're right. And this is how I know it's right. It will always come to fruition. The Bible says you will always know the true prophet from the false prophet based on did it come true. So we need to be very careful even when we believe we have heard the voice of God that you don't try to grandize it. That you don't start adding to it or subtracting from it because that's when you come out looking like a fool. I've seen this with a lot of pastors and a lot of leaders. God said this and he said this and I guarantee you this. It all falls apart. It's still successful, though. No. You're wrong. And you need to admit that you're wrong. And that's part of this whole thing is none of us is going to hear God's voice perfectly. We're still human beings. It's still being filtered to our person. But the more you hear correctly, the more you see it come to fruition, the more you see it meet this criteria, the better your understanding and the sharpening of your ears and the sharpening of your vision to see God and hear God. And of course, it's always for God's honor and God's glory, not ours. Most of the time when we seek God's will, what are we ultimately seeking? Something that will feel good to us. Something that will serve us. And that's why, once again, we don't hear because God has his mission, his agenda, and we're not even getting locked into that. We're just worried about me, me, me. And we see all these criteria met in the passage starting with verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. When I read that, it's like, oh, tingle like good. No, in Old Testament context, tingles a very bad thing. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. And he just goes through all these terrible things. That doesn't feel good to Samuel. He has to tell this to Eli, his spiritual father. But it's true. So God's voice doesn't guarantee you're going to like what you hear. And then we got verse 17. Eli asks, verse 16, tell me what God told you. Don't hide it from me. May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. Samuel tells him, and what's Eli's reaction? He's the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. He's right. I've done wrong. I've let my boys run wild. I should have stopped it as the lead priest, and I didn't. And what's going to happen has to happen. Wise, godly people will receive it. God stays with him. Verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Everything Samuel says comes to fruition because he's hearing God's voice personally. Verse 20, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. Everybody can match it up with what God's already said. So when God personally speaks to you, you won't always love the message, but it will always match his written word. It will be received by wise, godly people. It will always come to fruition, and it will always honor and glorify him. Last principle today, number 7. The more you hear, listen to, and obey what God speaks to you personally, the more he will continue to share with you. And we see verse 21, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Even if we go back to 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. If you take the time to invest in hearing God's voice personally, you're just going to be, God is going to invest even more in you. Think about it. As you all have your jobs or you go to school or you have your friendships, do you continue to invest in relationships with people that don't care? Of course not. So why would God do the same with us? Right? Our friends, people that, I mean, and don't get me wrong, if you've been longtime friends with people, decades, you know, you can pick up the phone after 20 years and pick up where you left off. That's one thing. But we know that even though that friendship is good, they don't really know who you are right now. They're not walking with you on a daily basis now. They're not caught up on current events now. So the intimacy's not there. Because what do you end up talking about with that friend from 20 years ago? Stuff that happened 20 years ago. Right? Remember this and remember that? Yeah, but God is not just the God of the past. He's a God of the present and a God of the future. And he's guiding you in that future, which is why we must personally hear his voice. Amen? Father God, we thank you and we thank you and we thank you, Lord, for the purity of your word. We love you, Father, because you are the God, the one true God, who personally reveals himself to us. Lord, we know that your revelation to us is comparable to us trying to communicate with ants. But you still do it, even though it's so demeaning to who you are, out of your limitless love. You continue to pour yourself out in ways to us so that we can truly know you for ourselves. Father, you are so incredible. It's amazing. Lord, I pray for everyone here and for those on Zoom and for those who will watch this recording later, Lord. I pray that they would give themselves over to investing the time to fix their receivers. That they would diagnose the receiver that they have. They would look at it, examine it, and understand, okay, why is this not working the way it's supposed to? And that they would partner with a spiritual mentor who they know consistently hears the voice of God personally, so so that they can be taught how to listen, so that they can receive everything you have in store, not only for them, not only for their families, but for the entire world, Lord, as you use us as co-laborers to bring your word to this fallen world. Father, we desperately need you. And we're so thankful that you're always there. You're standing right next to many of us. You're talking to many of us, even though we don't perceive it. So, Lord, I pray for them that their spiritual ears and their spiritual eyes would be opened, that they would finally let you in to the recesses of their mind, their soul, and their heart, Lord. That they would know that having spiritual parents and learning religious rules is not the same thing as knowing you. And that personally hearing your voice is expected. It's a must-have for every true believer. Lord, help us overcome these things that we have done terribly wrong universally in Christianity. Help us get back to the covenant that you have given us and all the promises that it brings, but also all the commitment and discipline that it requires. Father, push us, energize us, strengthen us, Lord, because we know we're too weak to do it on our own. But you are faithful to bring all these things to fruition for your honor and your glory. So, Lord, when we see the miracles and your power poured out, we will be very careful to make sure that you get all the credit. Father, we thank you, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.